What's the Tea? Brought to you by B-Trans Support and Community with Pride Radio.
Proudly supported by Pride Action North.
Hey everyone, it's Josie,
Rose
and Dan
from B-Trans Support and Community, with peer support service ran by trans people for trans people right here in Newcastle. And this is What's the Tea? Today we're talking about myth busting. So, yeah. The first one on the list.
So the first one that I could find online was that gender-affirming care is easy to access.
Honestly, genuinely couldn't be further from the truth. Where do we even start on that?
So, I guess the waiting list, the infamous
waiting list. Let's talk about how that works traditionally, and then let's talk about how that's developed recently.
Okay, yeah. So, what you would traditionally do is you would go to your GP and be like, hey, I think I am transgender.
That's what I did.
That is, yeah.
Poor her, bless her, it was our first day. She didn't know how any of the systems worked.
Oh, no.
I seem to have a trend of getting people on their first day.
you would go to your GP, be like, hey, I'm trans. Can I get referred to a gender clinic? And they'd be like, yeah, cool. I will set that up. Or you can self-refer to a gender clinic.
Can you?
Yeah, that's what I did.
There is a form you can download. But you do have to get the signature of a GP. So you have to have the conversation with them still, but you can be the person to send the referral off.
Yeah, no, mine worked.
I did not know that.
Mine worked a little different because I started off mine in Scotland. Mm. So in Scotland, you can just self-refer to GPs without self-refer to gender clinics without your GP's like signature or anything.
Oh,
yeah. That's a lot easier.
Oh, it is.
Because a lot of GPs don't know the first thing.
No, they don't. Bless them.
Which isn't entirely their fault, but
no,
they don't get trained.
They don't get trained at all,
yeah,
which isn't great.
Yeah, it's not a great start at all, no. There's definitely a lot more that they could be doing, however.
Yeah, no.
So typically, after then, the referral gets sent off?
Yeah, the referral gets sent off to the gender clinic, and they kind of email you back or send a letter back saying, hey, yes, you are now on a waiting list for your first appointment.
Now, what's this waiting list, Josie?
Oh, dear me. Okay, so the waiting list, as it's been so infamously called, is just a very long list of transgender people waiting to be seen for their first appointment.
Now, you say first appointment. Now, how does that work? Is there a subsequent second appointment?
There is.
How many appointments is there?
There's two, at least in Newcastle, there's two.
Okay.
Yeah. Because the first appointment is an assessment with a nurse, like basically like when you go to any and you go to like triage.
Yeah.
It's basically that. And then your second appointment, which is a few years down the line again, guys.
Well, we'll get to that.
Okay, sorry, getting ahead of myself. Is with the doctor, who just basically looks at the nurse's notes and go, yeah, I agree, or yeah, I disagree. And then you talk about where to go from there in terms of treatment.
Yeah, okay. So that second appointment, you mentioned a few years. Now, that sounds crazy. But what's interesting to note is that at least in the Northeast, where we get serviced by the Northern Region Gender Dysphoria Service, the NRGDS, the last I checked, the current waiting list times in total for the second appointment, so where you will discuss prescribing and further steps with the NRGDS, that was 106 months.
How many is that in years?
So that's approximately 9.5 years.
Oh,
gout.
That's upsetting.
Is that for both appointments?
So
between the two appointments?
That is...
Is that just
until the second appointment? So that includes the wait for the first.
Oh, okay.
The first appointment is in there. But in order to like get prescribed and have that discussion with them, it is 106 months. So for me, having gone onto the wait list in January of this year...
I am so sorry.
I was... How old was I? I was 21 still? Yes, I was 21. I'll be 30. I'll be 30 before the NHS gives me anything. So that's lit.
That's sick.
So gender-affirming care is not even particularly easy to access with the NHS.
It's really not.
Under normal circumstances, but we've had recent developments in terms of the NRGDS specifically, haven't we? Which sets an interesting precedent for the rest of the clinics across the country and what might happen with them as well.
Newcastle's not the first to have done it.
No, but yeah, you don't other clinics want to see have done the pattern no. perpetuate.
Yeah, obviously. Like, I think clinics... So Newcastle obviously closed their doors to new referrals completely.
Exactly, yes.
But, yeah, no, they're not the first clinic to do that. I remember no, a couple of years ago in Nottingham, I think, did it. I might be wrong on that. But they do tend to open them up eventually. But
yeah,
that will be
the one I was with in Scotland closed for COVID. Yeah,
oh, yeah, and everywhere closed.
Yeah,
for COVID.
And then didn't take on. They weren't taking on any new referrals either. And
that
then
sucks.
Only reopened to new referrals like last year, I think. Mm-hmm. I can't remember exactly, but yeah, no, that was horrendous. But the wait time for them for the first appointment was like 5.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But now I've no idea. They've been in a lot of hot water recently because they were the only gender clinic in Scotland for children to transition as well.
Right. Now, that's an interesting comment you make on that, because one thing I've heard recently as a result of the NRGDS closing its doors for new referrals, the way under 18s people's referrals work is that you're on a separate wait list.
Yeah.
And as soon as you turn 18, you are then
put to the end of the adults. Yeah.
Yes, you are put on the adult waiting list. And for those children who have just recently turned 18 and have been on the waiting list in the northern region.
Yeah, they can't be added on, can they? Because they've closed.
Are being declined
they
the
do,
position on
yeah,
the wait list.
They do have
the
choice to go elsewhere in the country, because you can pick wherever you want to go. So technically, you could just go, I want to go to this one that has only a 2 years wait list. But then you'd have to get.
Well, it's not
there.
Like any of
yeah,
them
transport.
Actually have a particularly low waiting list at the moment.
Yeah,
anyways.
They're all years long.
I think the lowest in the country is 6 years for the second appointment.
Yeah.
That's the lowest.
Yeah.
And Newcastle is the worst. And obviously now it's
really?
Now stopped.
Oh, Nottingham was.
At least on the.
I could be wrong.
Gender kit list that lists all of the ones that's available on the GPs. The GICs, Gender Identity Clinics website, it's on the NHS.
Yeah.
Lists all of those.
You may have to explain what GIC
yes.
is.
GIC, Gender Identity Clinic.
Yeah.
The NRGDS being one as such. Yes, Newcastle has the highest in the country.
Love that.
So that's entertaining. We love that. Obviously, we can't really complain about it because everybody obviously has their own waiting list.
Yeah.
We're all in the same boat.
It's just NHS times, isn't it?
Yeah. But so yeah, NHS. So gender affirming care being easy to access—that's a huge myth.
Definitely not.
The alternatives you've got there are private medication,
which costs thousands,
which is thousands of pounds.
Yeah,
and literally, it's there's no beating around the bush. It's just private medication, as it would be for anything else. It's ridiculously expensive.
Yeah,
but you do get the care. Yes, so like with it not being available on the NHS or anything, and obviously private healthcare being a lot. It makes the barrier to entry just so high, honestly, for a lot of people. It's stress-inducing, incredibly.
Oh, 100%.
Because obviously none of this also includes like prejudice faced by medical professionals as well.
Yes, that's a completely different topic.
Yeah. Like, I know a lot of the NHS top surgeons for like double mastectomy, they won't operate on people above a certain BMI.
Right.
Yeah, even though it really doesn't make that much of a difference. A lot of the private surgeons do it. It can affect results, but I feel like, you know, like people who are seeking out top surgery who already kind of know that.
Yeah.
Like they've all been looking at it for years anyway. Mm-hmm. But like a lot of the NHS surgeons tell you to get your BMI down first, which for some people isn't very possible.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. Prejudice in healthcare is, it sucks. And I think there's probably... In terms of general healthcare, I think trans people probably get quite a reasonable, fair share
of the
prejudice for minorities in healthcare, in the UK at least.
Oh, yeah, it's
some
not...
Some people would say, yeah.
Not great.
Gender-affirming care?
Yeah, definitely not easy to access.
No.
Like, I've been out for, 8 years now, and I still haven't had a first appointment.
Yep, there you go.
But do you know what the funny thing is? It's because I waited like 3 years to refer myself.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'd have referred myself when I came out, I'd have had top surgery by now.
Well, yeah.
On the NHS.
Because
my cousin came out around the same time as me and got referred right away to a children's clinic because obviously we were both 16. And when I was like, I'm going to wait a bit, because I had people in my ear being like, oh, you should wait, make sure you're sure, even though the wait lists are a long time.
Yes.
And in that time, the wait lists went from a few months to 5 years.
Has slowly been going downhill for just the past decade.
Yeah.
Love that.
Honestly. So
love it.
There's unfortunately, that's not a very positive one, but it's that is the truth. It's just been going downhill.
It's just the reality, isn't it?
Yeah.
The next myth. All trans people medically transition.
Not true.
Obviously not true.
Yes, big myth. That's the whole point. We're myth busting here, guys. We're busting these myths.
No. So yeah, when I came out, I wasn't 100% sure if I would medically transition. Obviously, I've thought about it since, and I do, but a lot of people just don't in general, obviously.
Mm-hmm. I think probably, well, naturally, we're myth-busting here. It's probably a very common misconception, like most common, that trans people will medically transition. I feel like if you tell somebody, like you come out to them, it's probably a very normal thing to think.
Yeah.
However, it's just totally not the case. You can choose whether or not to you want. Like it's totally optional. It is literally 100% optional. Obviously, as we've discussed, it's not very difficult to do necessarily in this country. But no, it's absolutely 100% optional, which is super cool. But I think a lot of people don't actually appreciate or think about.
Yeah, like I know some people who like changing their name and pronouns is like enough for them. Like
exactly.
That's mm-hmm. all they really wanted mm-hmm. was to change names and pronouns or like maybe a bit of presentation, and that's like fine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. And then also some people, maybe gender fluid people or non-binary people, want the option of like not like taking stuff on and putting it on as they want, but like like maybe instead of having top surgery, which is so permanent, they might just like buy a binder, because then one day they can put it on and be like, hey, this is fun, and then the next day they can not have it on and be like, this is also fun.
Yeah.
Like I don't really know how else to describe that.
Yeah,
like,
it's I mean that very much the same with like breast inserts and things
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, just being like, I suppose, as you say, having the option to pick and choose.
Yeah.
So a lot of people don't choose to medically transition if they want that freedom, or as you say, they're just already happy. It's that like, that's enough for them. Like name, pronouns, bit of presentation.
Yeah.
Which is all totally fine. And I genuinely think a lot of people probably don't think about that one.
I think another factor also is, for instance, if you're having like bottom surgery.
Mm-hmm.
It can also be like life altering mm-hmm. if it goes wrong
mm-hmm.
or if like your body doesn't take to it very well.
Mm. Yeah, like I know a lot of especially trans guys don't want bottom surgery because the risks for specifically like phalloplasty can be quite daunting for some people.
Like what are the risks for that then?
Like just the way that the surgery works, like there's quite a high risk of just like not being able to go to like the toilet on your own and stuff.
Right.
I don't know if that's still the case, but when I was like researching whether I wanted it and stuff, the options aren't in terms of that. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Some people just don't want to risk it.
Yeah, no, it's also quite daunting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank God. And all the healing.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Healing. Not
good
great.
God. All that time off work.
I know. No, it's just, I would love to get it, but it's scary.
I mean, I think surgery is pretty scary anyway.
I know the thought of it is quite terrifying. That's permanently altering my body. But also, I really want it. But also, I don't want to have to wait to heal.
Okay. Big change.
Yeah, definitely. Actually, I know some people who get, like, hormones and then come off them after a while.
I was considering doing that.
Yeah?
Like, for a while, I was thinking, like, should I just go on T for, like, a year or a year or two and then just come off?
Hmm.
I don't think that now.
No.
But for a time I did.
Okay.
I was just like, maybe just have a little bit of a change.
What, to look just kind of androgynous?
Yeah. I was like, well, I had a non-binary era as
right.
well, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But not anymore.
Okay, cool.
That I don't
makes
know.
Sense.
Like,
yeah. But yeah, you don't have to.
I know I don't have to.
That's the whole point. We're wow. myth-busting.
Wow. Mythbusters.
So myth three. Transgender people live crazy lives.
This one is wild.
Do you live a crazy life, Rose?
Do you live a crazy life?
But we're all born.
I'm incredibly boring.
Oh, I mean, boring.
Most of the time I just play video games all day and that's it.
Yeah.
I play video games and work at a video game shop. That's all I do.
Yeah, go to uni, do my degree.
Wow.
Get out of bed sometimes.
That's mental.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Only sometimes?
Sometimes, you know. You know, right. Some days.
Fair enough.
But I definitely wouldn't say I live a crazy life.
Do you live a crazy life, Dan?
I would not say that. I would say that I park myself on the sofa at about 1 p.m. and I stay there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's about it.
That's understandable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when you were researching these myths, what kind of examples did they have for like crazy
lives? Was like the on the fringes of society, and then a lot of it was like that, like we go out and like party all the time because obviously like the gay scene's pretty big into like clubbing and yeah, like party drugs and things like that, and it was like, yeah, that's what all the trans people do as well.
I mean,
we're all drag queens and we're all drag kings and we go out and we get smashed. And
I guess it depends on who you are, really.
Yeah, because it's literally just like, oh, for any other human being.
Yeah.
Do you like to party? Do you not like to party?
Definitely,
I don't know.
Not.
It was literally just like they're all like weird and like freaks and like they're all like, they just go and do weird stuff. I don't know. It was just like,
I run a freak show.
Do you?
We're in a circus together. We've got matching outfits.
Can I join?
Josie is actually, she's really good with the tigers.
Why have I not been invited to join? You're left out now.
Yeah, we don't like you.
Oh. I'm going to go home and cry.
I would call that crazy.
That is pretty crazy.
That's
pretty mental.
Just how every other person is, really.
Literally.
It's almost as if, like, oh, wow, we're like any other human being on the planet.
That would be crazy.
That would be insane if that was the case.
Well, that is a crazy life.
Wow, that's a crazy life. I'd take that.
Imagine if trans people were just people.
Wow.
Who would have thought?
Unbelievable.
Mental. So, myth 4, all transgender people are young and you can be too old to transition.
I think it was a more recent one because I do remember kind of like when I was coming out, it was very much like,
oh, it's a phase. It's a young people thing.
It was literally like very, very young trans men and then very old trans women.
Right.
It was like what was about when I was kind of spelunking in online forums.
Mm. Sure.
It was literally just like trans guy teenagers who were all very white and skinny. And then older women, where they were like, oh yeah, I've been on hormones for 30 years and I got lip filler in a back alley, like all this mad stuff. So I do think like as well that some people think like, oh, well, I'm a bit old now. What's the point? We're already got this far.
Never too old to transition.
Yeah. I mean, I can't really offer advice on it. I'm a bit young.
No, I mean, as we were saying earlier, in terms of not even needing to medically transition, which is a whole nother thing that you still totally can do, like if you consider yourself older, but you don't need to. It's entirely optional.
Mm.
No, there's literally no age where you'd be too old. I mean, yeah, if we're perfectly happy with slapping on some new pronouns, a new name badge, and dressing a little bit differently, and that's me being chilling. I'm massive trans me.
Not the massive trans.
Then anybody can do that at any age, right?
I mean,
where's the barrier there? I love seeing all the trans people personally.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's great.
I follow as well a lot of like older trans guys online because as well a lot of people don't really show like the effects that hormones have when you've been on them for 10 plus years.
Right.
Because obviously a lot of the representation is younger people as well. Like, so obviously it's nice to see maybe what I'm going to look like when I'm 50.
I don't know.
It's better, it's easier to kind of imagine yourself as an older trans person when you can see other people being older trans people as well.
Yes. It's very heartwarming.
Yes.
Gives me hope.
Family vibes.
But yeah, also throughout the entirety of human history, most trans people in history have been older. I think there was this one trans woman who was like 60 and was thrown in prison for wearing a dress in like public in like 1800s. And she was like 60.
Yeah.
So obviously older trans people do obviously exist.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of documentation throughout history.
Yeah.
Just a lot of it that people choose to ignore.
Oh yeah, obviously.
Yeah. I do think it is a more recent myth just because of like, as well, I think a lot of like shows as well, they're a lot like coming of age shows. So when they're like coming of age trans people shows, obviously it's going to be young people because it's coming of age.
Yeah, and then but, and then they get really popular and everyone's
yeah,
like,
no one
oh,
really makes shows about the rest of it.
No.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's what's popular. You know, yeah. If it's going to be a majority young people watching it, then...
Yeah, especially you know, like, as well, sense. Like, a lot of shows as well these days kind of aim to get a younger audience. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, because, you know, teenagers have a lot of time on their hands. So they try and put younger protagonists on so then they can kind of project themselves as well. I saw a post as well online that was saying that like a lot of the shows are coming of age because once you get to your 30s, you get too specific to be able to kind of make it all round people pleaser show about. Mm. Like people get more specific as they age and that's why people don't really make shows about it because it's too hard.
Fair enough.
Which is lovely.
Wasn't there a trans woman in like EastEnders or like Emmerdale or something?
Coronation Street,
that's
Hayley.
What it was. Yeah.
Yeah, she was trans.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I just remembered that from when
it
you
wasn't
were saying.
Really. I remember her storyline where she had to tell Roy Crupper that she was trans because he was like, "Why is there no photos of you from when you were a kid? And why do I know nothing about your background?" And then she was like, "I used to be a man."
Okay.
Yeah, but it's okay because Roy Crupper loved her anyway.
That's nice.
He's a big sweetie.
That's good.
Love a good bit of representation.
Mm-hmm. It was like one of the first trans people on a soap, I think.
Oh, really?
It was, like, big for
that
the time.
That surprised me, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember
when was it?
About it.
Oh, I remember it.
Oh, okay. So
but I was, like, a kid.
Recent, then.
But I was a kid, so it's not that recent.
Well, I mean, it wasn't the 70s, was it?
You don't know how old I am.
Right, okay.
Roughly the early
2000s. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
The mid-2000s.
I don't
it was
watch
maybe
soap
2000s,
so.
Maybe early 2010s.
Okay. See, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. But I think it was quite big for the time.
All right, okay.
Especially compared to a lot of the... options out there at the time in terms
a lot of other trans stories oh. as well yeah but yeah. It's very much like oh I've cut my body up in the bath like
yeah,
that kind of thing
you what?
It's been
tragic stories
strange.
Where everybody dies and
oh.
things like
I mean,
that and it was literally just like I'm a happy wife and didn't used to be a wife.
I mean yeah most media I've seen like in like early 2010s that feature a trans person have always been haha that's a trans person.
That's kind of what I was alluding to yeah,
yeah so most of the time, I don't really see happy trans moment.
Mm. Well, it was a very happy moment for her. Roy didn't care.
Yes,
he was like,
it's very nice to have those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the next myth then?
So the last one here, we've got non-binary as a phase or just confused, which is makes me disgusted to read. Honestly,
I'm disgusted. Ill.
Awful.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do an accent.
No. I don't know how you could conceive that. I mean, obviously, I can yeah. see how somebody could conceive that, but it couldn't be further from the truth.
Yeah, no,
like,
I mean...
You'd both mentioned, in terms of your coming out story
yeah.
last episode, how for a time you may have considered yourself non-binary. Mm-hmm. How would you describe what that process is like?
For me, I always kind of akin it to trying on clothes, mm-hmm. you know, getting a small t-shirt and a medium t-shirt and seeing which one fits better. Like, I always kind of explain, I have had a few people come to me and be like, how would I go about exploring identities? And I'm like, literally just try them on like a t-shirt,
mm-hmm.
put it on like a pair of pants, mm-hmm. see if it fits. Because literally, yeah, I would akin it to trying on just different things and seeing what's comfortable. So obviously when you're kind of exploring things, to me, I was like, oh, this feels a bit of a way to kind of explore without... This sounds so bad. Explore without really committing.
Sure.
Yeah, I was like, oh, well, if I go this way, then it's like not that real. Do you know what I mean? But then obviously that's not true.
I mean, this is often what people refer to as a pipeline.
Yes.
Yes. Which I feel is very normal because you as like...
It's like
as
dipping
we spoke
your toe
about
in the
like coming
water
out to
you
yourself,
in.
It's part of the process of like admitting, oh yeah, this is definitely me. I should just stop. I should just jump in where
yes.
I want.
I was very much
you know?
Just dipping
yeah.
your toe in.
No, yeah, I get that. Yeah,
you should instead of just dipping a toe in, you should just jump in exactly where you feel comfy.
Yeah, no, I was non-binary for a while, mainly because I wasn't comfortable enough to admit to myself that I am a woman.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. So I think under that, I can definitely conceive how people see it.
Yeah. If that's all you've ever seen is like people being like, I'm non-binary. Actually, no, I'm actually a very binary trans person.
Yeah.
Then that would be understandable as like, oh, well, people just say they're non-binary because they're just having a little wade around in the water. But like, I do know non-binary people who've been out for like 10 plus years just as non-binary, and they're just living their life like that. So, and I mean, our culture isn't the only one that recognizes other gender identities outside of male and female, so
Well, we only do that in some cases. If you're talking like, say, legally, like if you want it on your driving license, then non-binary people don't exist to the government. They literally don't exist. They can put a marker, supposedly.
I think it's an X.
Yeah, it's an X, I think.
Yeah.
But you still have to be assigned either male or female, which, if you do identify as non-binary, the whole point there is to not be either male or female.
Yeah, it's like the whole
deal.
So
they've really done a subpar, honestly, I'd say, job with that one.
I mean, it's not very helpful either that the government is run by people who don't exactly get it either.
Oh, well, yes. I mean, that is an endless topic of conversation.
Yeah, but no.
They don't.
They really don't.
I thought they did.
Oh, dear. you've been sadly mistaken.
Done.
Wake up, sheeple.
Not the sheeple. Behave.
Yes, like, no, the beauty of non-binary is that you don't have to conform to any particular set of standards that society perpetuates.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Because if realistically, that's basically what it boils down to. It's what people expect as what you would typically identify as male or female. They've got very preconceived notions about what that means. So non-binary being, I would say, like rather as different as a gender identity for most people to come across. Now the beauty of it is that it's not actually anything specifically. You can do literally whatever
you want. Yeah, I imagine
that's
quite free.
Act however you want.
To just like look at everything and then just go, no, you're all right, actually.
Just flip a middle finger to everybody else and say, I'm going to be me and you cannot stop us. I can see in some ways how people can conceive that as like a phase in terms of the pipeline for a transgender person, a transgender male, man or woman. But definitely not. No, it's its own very, very massive thing that encompasses many, many, many things, many different even subcategories.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, definitely not true. Everything on that list right there, that's not true. None at all.
None of it's
all myths.
Myths.
We busted them.
Busted the myths.
Busted the myths. God. How fantastic. I'm so proud of us.
I love that for us.
That was our episode about myth busting. Remember to follow BTrans on all social medias and reach out to us if you have any questions about the services we offer. Make sure you tune into the next episode where we'll be discussing most Googled questions about trans people.
Remember to follow BTransNB on your socials and reach out to us if you have any queries about the services we offer.
What's the Tea? Proudly supported by Pride Action North. Pride Radio.